see you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. And I greet you amidst all that takes place and all that goes on in this world that is going off the hinges. That, because, I mean, Jesus already told us about this. Anything that's built on the rock is going to be able to stand when the trials and tribulations or the storms of life come. And anything that is built on the sand is going to fall. Anything built without a foundation. And everything that is a lie is something that is built without a foundation. Because everything that's built as a lie is built on the surface to try to deceive people, to make them think things are something other than they truly and really are. So there is no foundation. You can't dig down into that because there's nothing below that surface. And if you dig down, you find that there's something else there. So, you know, for the time right now that we live in, many things have already begun to be shaken. And we've already been, you know, as God has been quickening us, we've already been telling you guys the things that He would have us to make known to you, just so that you could also be encouraged. You know, when we make things known here, as we have for a decade, and as we are just quietly in this little tiny spot in the corner of the internet, where God would have us to share with a select group of people. And if you're hearing this, then you are very likely among that group. You know, part of the reason why we share these things is for you to be encouraged, for you to also know that He is in control, for you to also realize that that none of the things that are taking place are outside of His larger plan and purpose. You know, I think sometimes people continue to, in their own worldly thinking, just assume that stuff is going to happen and go on like it always has, and that's not the case. You know, there's always windows and seasons and times where things go and then they don't. You know, things go for a long time and then they don't. You may have a string of bad luck for a long time and then you won't. Then it may be some great things. Or you may have a string of just everything working out for you and then all of a sudden it flips and you can't do anything right. So it, you know, whatever it may be, things will continue to change and to shift. Now, in the middle of the changes and the shifts, are you going to trust the way that God works with you? Are you going to be able to trust the way that He leads and guides you? Are you going to continue to look to Him and to thank Him and to be in a grateful place and in a grateful heart that He has you? Or are you going to be like the worlders? And are you going to, even as Matthew 6 talks about, worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, and just let your mind go to all these other places that it doesn't need to go, because those things have already been taken care of for the follower of Christ. He's already taken care of your needs. He's already taken care of the things that are necessary. You know, I think there's, I mean, one strong element, though, now, too, which is more and more pronounced is... I mean, we've always had an attack against our mind, but the, you know, the amping up of, and the methods that the enemies are using right now, you know, the electronic warfare that's there, you know, in many different ways, shapes, and forms, you know, and I'm not just speaking about the media and the things that are broadcast over the airwaves, but even on other levels, as they're just continuing to pull out all the stops. You know, when you're in the middle of this, it's going to be important for you to remember the fundamentals, for you to remember the things that God has shown you, the way that God has spoken to you, the promises that He's made. You know, it is, because it is a difficult time. I mean, it's a pressing time. It's the oppression is very strong for the children of God, and the worlders are losing their minds because they thought that they were going to get an easy ride and a pass through through this life, and it's not turning out like that because the storms of life are just beginning to break on the shores, and as they do, they're already starting to, the buildings and the houses that they've built themselves and the things that they're living inside of are already starting to creak. And scriptures talk about how when it falls, great is the fall thereof. Now, practically speaking, you know, God wants us to be flexible, to flow with Him. God wants us to look to Him in every moment. And, you know, another thing too right now, and this is important, is that you have to always understand that the enemy has a certain objective in the things that he does. He doesn't just oppress you for the sake of, you know, just because he likes to, which he, you know, they definitely get a, enjoyment out of trying to torture the children of God, absolutely. But there's also another purpose in it. And part of that purpose is to keep you from praying, to keep you from engaging in the realm of the Spirit. Scriptures talk about how we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So part of what the enemy works to do in these attacks that come against the children of God is to paralyze you. I'll say it again. The part of the attacks are there to paralyze you, to keep you from praying, to keep you from engaging, to keep you from, to keep you on the sidelines, to keep you numb. You know, when you get battered so much that you just, at the end of the whole thing, you are numb, you know, mentally, physically, you just don't have anything left in the tank to do much with, and that is a, you know, that is part of the strategy of the enemy. And you have to understand that that's part of it, because you are in a war, my brothers and sisters. This is not, this is we've come into, and we are behind enemy lines while we're here in this life. So you are in the middle of a spiritual war zone where the battle is raging for the souls and the eternal destinies of men and women, and the manifestation of the plan and purpose of God in this paradigm. So yes, you're in the middle of something. So, you know, I mean, nobody in the middle of World War II was, you know, thinking about filling up their pool in the backyard. I mean, it's, you know, it's a different time. It's a different situation. And so because that's the case, you need to allow God to adjust your thinking. You need to allow God to adjust the way that you relate to your time here. And yes, you know what? There are going to definitely be moments of joy, and there's going to be pleasure in this life that is, you know, God given. Those are definite things that are there. I mean, just the pleasure of seeing a beautiful sunset is an amazing thing, or having some good people around you. I mean, and a good conversation. These are God given delights, and you miss them when you are so numb because the enemy is beating you down. Now, this is, just realize that that's part of the strategy of the enemy. Now, how do you overcome that? How do you deal with that when that is part of the onslaught that's brought against you? Well, first of all, you got to realize that that's part of the enemy's agenda. When you know that that's part of the enemy's agenda, then you can adjust. Then, you know, sometimes one of the things to do is to look at the inputs, look at the ways that the enemy is accessing you. So, you know, that can sometimes be through things that we allow, like the TV and the media, or some of the online social social networking sites or things like that where you can just get bludgeoned through that. Sometimes it can be through bad relationships that are in our lives where the enemy knows that maybe you are sealed up unto God, but there's other people around you that are not. And so he works to access through those people to then come and attack your life. And many times those people don't even know why they're doing what they're doing, but they just are on full tilt whenever they see you and they just go off. Yeah, I see the hands raising in the aisles. Yes, you know what that's like. So when, now just realize that that's going to be there. Now you can pray through those situations, but also sometimes it's good to adjust. You know, it's good to adjust and to make some conscious decisions about the people that are in your life and, you know, who is there. Now, some of the situations are a little bit more difficult to work with than others because of the constraints of maybe work or family life, but you can still make adjustments and you can still adjust to how you relate to people. And sometimes you can completely cut certain people out and make space for the people that God wants to be there. But realize that these are places that the enemy accesses you. Another thing is to be conscious of the things that are in your space, wherever it is that you are, or wherever it is that God has you. You will occupy space, and in that space that God has you to be conscious of the things that are in that environment, because many times the enemy will try to put things into a place where he knows you're going to be, that are going to be either physical objects or some sort of something with a spiritual residue on it in order to try to access and to affect you. So creating spiritual portals that can be used for demonic forces to come against you either while you sleep or while you are, you know, just resting or doing whatever, or just to come against you. And so realize that that is something there as well. And sometimes there may be things that God will quicken you that just need to be gotten rid of. And as a child of God, we don't want to have any types of attachments to things in this life. So, you know, if there's something that is there that is hindering you, just get rid of it. You know, just get rid of it. And God will show you what to do with those things. Because, you know, and this is also, I just thinking back to a movie I saw when I was a kid. It was a remake of the Jungle Book. I think that was what it was called, but I think it had a different name. But you know, part of in this movie there was these guys that wanted the main character, I think Mowgli was his name, and they wanted him to go back to this lost city in the middle of the jungle because they knew there's all these treasures there and everything, and they followed him there. And, you know, when Mowgli went back to this place in the story, there's a warning that's given about one of the items in the treasury that, and he's told by the guardian of that place, he said, you know, whatever you do, don't take this particular ruby that was buried into, that was part of this axe. He said, because it, even though it's this beautiful, beautiful stone, there's a curse that's on it, and just death and bloodshed follow it wherever it goes. And you know, when these other guys showed up that were following Mowgli, they see this ruby and this axe, and they all start fighting over it right away. And they kind of, and just as that the time and the story goes on, they end up killing each other over this particular jewel, even though there's all these other, you know, all this other treasure that's there. And the point, you know, that I thought was, you know, interesting that they'd even put that into a movie later on in life, as I learned more, is that how the enemy will oftentimes put onto material objects, and many times beautiful material objects, or pieces of art, or expensive jewelry or something, but something that you would want to keep around in the natural, but is in the realm of the spirit, has something on it. And, you know, God can quicken you on what to do with or about that. You know, sometimes, I mean, in scriptures, there was the, when Joshua and the children of Israel were going into and taking over the promised land, and there was in one of the battles afterwards, and they were told, the children of Israel were told by God to completely destroy the material objects that they came into contact with, because they were polluted in the realm of the spirit. And because they refused, there's one man that refused to do that, and he saw, some bars of precious metal and some clothes that he liked, and so he just kind of took them and hid them. But in the realm of the spirit, that left an impact, and the children of Israel were not able to win another battle until that had been gotten rid of. And, you know, they lost the next battle, and then that was when Joshua was seeking God, and God's like, and he's, you know, complaining to God about the whole thing. God's like, look, I already told you guys. There's something in the camp. There's something there that's creating a vulnerability. There's something there that's creating an access point, a doorway for the enemy to keep you from moving into the full promises that I have for you. And they had to deal with it. They had to go in. They had to find it. And that the person that violated that, who had endangered all the people of Israel, he and his whole household were, buried with that. I mean, they were destroyed. And there was not a time where people played around, because the stakes were high. And, you know, as we are moving now more and more into a time where you don't want to be playing around, This is a time where, the stakes are high. And if you're not flowing with God, if you're not on His page, well, you're in a perilous position, because you're out of position, and you're in a situation where a lot of things can happen, and you don't want to be off His page at this point. And listen, if you're listening to this and you are not sure if you're on His page, it's a great time to pray and to repent and to come to God with 100% of who you are, and to leave nothing out, because you need to be completely on His page right now, so that you are ready to flow with Him, because of everything that is coming up in the world at such a time as this. If you're not flowing with Him, you are in the wrong spot spiritually and naturally. But if you are flowing with Him, it can be an incredible adventure. And I believe that that's part of what God is calling us to right now, is to an incredible adventure. You know, I mean, I think back to the time when the children of Israel were in the land of Goshen during the plagues coming upon Egypt. And while the plagues were coming, and it was a fearful time for the Egyptians, it must have been an incredible, miraculous time for the children of Israel to see all of that take place, to see all of that coming upon the land, and to bear witness to the hand and the working of God. That must have been something else. I mean, just incredible. And I believe, you know, that we are called to be witnesses of the Spirit of God. We are called to be the eyes and ears of God in the earth. We are the natural representations of the spiritual reality. Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh, came, dwelt among us, walked on this earth, and we, you, my brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you are a physical representation of the Spirit of God in the earth. So just as just as Jesus Christ said, I only do the things that I see the Father doing. I speak the words that I hear the Father speaking. Likewise, that's the way we want to be. That's the way we want to live. And, you know, we want to just speak the words that we hear the Father speaking. We want to just do the things that we hear or that we see the Father doing. That's the way that we want to live. Now, do we have hopes, dreams, desires, things that God has put into our heart? Yes, but those things have to be brought before the feet and the Lordship of Christ, and they have to be allowed to be what they are. Because, you know, in the middle of all of the things that we might hope for, if any of those things take precedence, or they become an idol, they become something that we would put up there and hope for that is not God. And he will have no other gods before him. And sometimes it can be a good thing, but a good thing put in the wrong place can be very damaging. There's a lot of that happens in the world that we live in right now. There's a lot of good things that are in the wrong place that are very damaging. You know, if you live in the West and you live in a colder area of the country and you know what a fireplace is, friends that are listening in Asia that are close to the tropics, you may not know this one so well. Maybe up in some of the hill countries you might have them, but a fireplace is a place inside a house where you expect to have a fire. And if you have a fire in the fireplace, it's going to warm the house, warm everybody that's there, and it's going to be a blessing to people. If you have a fire in the wrong place in the house, you'll burn down the whole house. You'll destroy everything. So is fire a good thing? It's neutral. But if you have it in the wrong place, then it's bad. If you have it in the right place, it can be great. It can be wonderful. So, you know, you want to be whatever it is that God has given you and the things that he's quickened in your heart, the gifts that he's put in your heart, you want those in the right place. You want those in the place where they can be used according to the plan and purpose of God. Take for example, even what we do here. Now, early on, God quickened me to speak. And, you know, in those early days, you know, even where there was, you know, invitations by churches to come and speak. And a lot of times, too, there was, interestingly enough, you know, very strong manifestations of the power of God by his design during those times. And then God kind of turned it down a little bit to help me to see some other things, and which I'm grateful for, because I would have just gotten swept up in a lot of emotionalism and a lot of other stuff that was a tangent that people got off on during that window of time. But as time went on, you know, part of my own understanding as well was that the systems that were there were also taking people in a direction that God didn't want them to go. And that's around the same time where the door was opened for Faith Mix. And, you know, as we've gone on and as we continue to broadcast here, when God would give us something to say and it reaches a lot of people out there in the world, but, you know, this is the way that God's doing it. Now, in the human element, in the way that people work, in the way that we would work in our own flesh, you know, people want that crowd. They want those people in front of them, and they want a big show and a big production and all that applause and all the lights and everything else. And the way that God has chosen to do this with us is just very quietly. Now, you receive the word. You receive what God has given us to say. And frankly, we were able to keep the cost of production to an incredibly low level. and still achieve the same result without a lot of the traps that come with so many of those other gatherings, which in a lot of ways just facilitate people's egos. Now, we listen, that does that mean that we don't speak in group environments or in gatherings or anything like that? We do whatever God has for us to do. But it just is interesting to us as time has gone on that this has been the majority of the direction for us and a lot of the way that He has chosen to work with and through us. And my question, has this not been a blessing? Has this not been the way that God has also been able to speak to you from time to time when you've needed to hear? And you come here occasionally because you have a question and God will speak to you in and through this. Yes? Okay. Well, you know, as we've gone on in this process as well, and we've sought to be flexible and allow God to direct us, because listen, if we didn't do it like this, you wouldn't hear it. If we didn't do it this way, we wouldn't be able to reach you. So if we had gotten all wrapped up in our own egos and needing to have a big crowd and to do things the traditional way, we would be missing what God is doing right now. See, many times we miss what God is doing because we have our own personal agenda that we just have to try to force to make that happen, because darn it, I always wanted to do this. I always wanted to be this. This was what I was always going to be, and I knew that I would find my fulfillment the day that this happened, whatever that might be. That's a trap, my friends. And it is the blessing of God that a lot of the things that we thought we wanted didn't work out. You know, of course, there's times when the enemy attacks and oppresses and works to kill the offspring of our lives, the children of our lives, the things that we've created and the things that have been done under the quickening of the Spirit of God. Yes, that's there. But there's also another side too, which is where God, by His grace, keeps certain things at a distance from us because we can't see, because we have a limited understanding. And we can't sometimes see that some of the things that we think we want or some of the things that we believe would bring fulfillment are actually traps set there. And they're part of that minefield that if you listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, He will lead and guide you through. If you don't listen to that voice, you will be ensnared by it. And you want to be listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. You want to carry on and carry through. For this reason, Christ Jesus, He came into this world. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He said, "My sheep will know my voice. They won't follow another." So is this just something we read, or are we going to live like this? Are we going to live like this? So, you know, part of this entire process that we're going through is it's a journey, and it's a journey that God has us on so that we can learn to flow with Him. Now, in that process of learning to flow with Him, it is a struggle, because there's definitely elements that we struggle with in our humanity. Do we ever get it all 100% figured out? I don't know. I don't think so. Because we have the human side there, but we can learn something, and we can be confident of what we know in Him. You know, not that we've got everything figured out, but you can be like Paul, persuaded that He is able to accomplish the things that He set out in you, and that He's able to lead and guide you despite your frailties. And you know, there's that assurance that faith is the size of a mustard seed, tiny little seed, but you got it. There's just that little bit of assurance, if nothing else, that little bit of confidence, if nothing else, that he will do what he said he will do. And you hold on to that even in the middle of things looking like they're going a completely different way. You know, when there's no faith, there's not even that mustard seed. There's not even that little bit of assurance. But if you've got just that twinkling, that sparkling, that little bit that's there that just says, you know what, he's going to take me through. He's going to deliver. He's going to watch over his children. He's going to show us the direction and the way. That's going to be there with you. It's going to help you. It's going to lead you. It's going to build. It's going to grow. You know, the walk of faith is just one step of trust after another, just one step of faith after another. And when we talk about people walking in the faith, it's just, you just keep taking one step after another because he's with you each and every one of those times. And you may not know and you may not trust completely because you've got the human element around you and you've got, again, a lot of voices that are around you. And like we said, some of these things are drainers and detractors and things that are there to try to make you numb, which you need to adjust on. But with all of that, you still have that assurance that God is directing you. And you still just take that one step. You know, sometimes you just need to take that one step. And you may not know much more than that, but take that one step. You know, it was, I think it was 3 years ago this month that, it might even be around this day even that I finished up at my last job where I was in Sri Lanka and I was that CEO of a company there, and you know, and God had spoken to me and just said, you know what, there's some other things you got to do. And you know, it was an interesting window because you know, are you going to trust God and continue to follow him, or are you going to stay in a situation where, you know, there's a lot of material things that are taken care of for you, but you know that that's not where God wants you to be at that stage, and it's time to move if you're going to flow with him. It's time to move if you're going to continue to be on his path. It's time to move if you're going to know the next window of his assignment for you in the earth. Now, was that, you know, I have not, I'll tell you this too, I have not for one day regretted giving my notice at that last assignment that I was doing, that last job. No, not for one day. Because since that too, and since I've gone forward in the things that God had for me to do, there's been an incredible adventure. And I have met just amazing people of God. And I've been involved with things that are all part and plan, part and parcel of God's plan and purpose. And I'm floored, if I would stop and just look at it, by the life experiences and the things that God's allowed me to do. Now, they would have never happened had I just said, you know what, this is it. This is a comfortable spot in the natural that I can just kind of make things work in. Sure, I'm just going to stay in this. That would be natural thinking. And that would be worldly thinking. And spiritually, I would have just, in my own spirit, just died. Because that's not God's plan and purpose. You will find life when you do the will of the Father. See, in doing the will of the Father, there is life. In doing the will of the Father, there is joy. In doing the will of the Father, there is peace. In doing the will of the Father, you see the manifestation of the purposes of God. When you don't do the will of the Father, you miss it. And there's something inside of you that knows that you missed it. And it's not a nice feeling. And it just continues to grind away at you while you go on and try to make everything else make sense in this life and in this world. But Jesus is continuing to move on. He's continuing to walk away, and it's getting further and further and further away from you. Because see, when he moves, either you move with him, or he's just going to pass you by. The many are called, but the chosen are few. The chosen are the ones that respond to the call and go with him and keep moving with him. The called, there's a lot of people that are called, and they hear his voice, but they hold on to something in the world, and that keeps them from going forward with him, that keeps them from flowing with him. Now, does that mean that everybody needs to travel and go here and there? No, not necessarily. It just means that whatever he says, that's it. You know, whatever he instructs, that's the way you go. His way, not mine. Every day and every moment of your life, that's the way you live. That's what it is. That's what Jesus practiced while he was in the earth. That's what you and I practice while we're here in the earth as disciples of Jesus Christ, as servants of the living God. That's what we practice. That's what we do. And in that there's peace. In that there's joy. In that there's a continuing refinement of this art of life, which can be so much fun. I pray for you, brothers and sisters. I pray that you would not be discouraged in this time, but that you would be encouraged in this time, and that you would find your joy and your hope and your peace as you look to Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, that you would know that he that began that good work in you is going to carry it on to completion, that you would also follow the instructions of God as he quickens you in your spirit, because in him quickening you, he's going to show you the ways to live a full life while you're here. And listen, a full life is going to be a life that has purpose with it, that has meaning, that has significance, that accomplishes the reason for which you were created in the first place, which is the very thing the enemy wants to keep you away from. You know, the enemy would happily make you a mega rich success and try to just lock you up in a tower somewhere so that you couldn't do anything. Whereas God may have for you just to be free and to go to and fro and speak his word, and you're doing much more for the kingdom in doing that. Now, in the eyes of the world, they would always try to go the way of wealth and power and connections and material success. But listen, that's not necessarily what is needed for the child of God. And if you have that, fine. If you do the Daniel and Joseph path, fine. But otherwise, you know, just keep in mind that both Daniel and Joseph went through being that they were enslaved, you know, and God promoted them within that structure and within that situation they were in. But it was not a comfortable or a good situation in a lot of places for those guys. But they trusted God. They still held on to God. They still looked to him to lead and guide them. They still trusted the way that he would speak to them. They still held on to the word. And their heart wasn't in it. You remember when Darius, I believe, after Nebuchadnezzar had passed on, and Darius, you know, was partying it up with his friends, and the hand of God wrote on the wall, and they set for Daniel to interpret what was written on the wall. And he was offering him all this stuff. He said, you know, I'm going to put a purple robe on you and a chain around your neck, and you're going to be the third highest ruler in the kingdom and all this stuff. And Daniel just said, look, you know, I don't want you, I don't need your gifts, And, you know, so give them to yourself or to somebody else. But I will tell you what's written on this wall. Daniel's heart was never in that system. He always, from the time that he was there, you know, at 16, you know, when he had the opportunity and he chose to not defile himself, even though everything around him was pushing him towards that. But he just said, you know what, there's not a lot I can do about the situation I'm in. But Lord God, whatever I can do to stay on track with you, I want to try to do that. And even right now, in the world that you're living in, just whatever it is that God would quicken you to do in your particular context, seek to do that. And God granted Daniel favor, and along with him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, favor so that they could still honor him, even with their diet and what they're doing. And that, you know, on a natural level, that had an impact on their mental clarity and their mental focus. But on a spiritual level, God blessed them, because for them, they were not looking for easy street or to make a deal with the world. They wanted God, even in the middle of a difficult situation where it would have been so easy, the path of least resistance would have been just to go with the world. They're sold into slavery. You know, they could have just said, you know what, this is it. This is what we're stuck with, so we're just going to make the best of it. But instead, within themselves, they said, here's the bit that we maybe can do, so let's at least try. And God granted them favor with the people that were responsible for oversight over them, and blessed them. And blessed them and raised them up in that place. And the goal, here's the thing, their goal wasn't to be big shots in the kingdom of Babylon. No, their goal was to follow God. Their goal was to be on track with Him. And whatever everything else became was what it was, what it became. That's why, and that goal remained consistent throughout. So when in Daniel chapter 3 they set up the statue on the plain of Dura, and the children of Israel were instructed with everybody else to bow down and worship when they played all the instruments, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused, and the king got mad and he gave them a second shot. And they said, listen, King, you know, we're not going to be careful in answering you in this matter. You know, in all this other stuff, we've done a good job for you. But in this thing, with this, when it comes to our spiritual allegiance, you know, just know for yourself that we will never bow before the thing that you've set up. It made the king so angry. The world just can't stand that you hold out for God. And even if they would toss you into a fiery furnace, you just hold out for God. And they said, listen, whether we get saved or not from your hand, just know, we know that God can save us. Now, if He does or if He doesn't, that's, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but to live is Christ and to die is gain. So, you know, if we're here because He wants us to be here. And if we check out, thank you so much, Father. I'm ready to come home. See, you always win when you live like that. You never lose. When you live like that, you always win. Right now, you are a winner. Because you know that whatever you do here in this life is as unto the Lord. And if you are to check out, that moment you get to go on to something much greater. Just, you can't even describe it of what we translate into and the beautiful things that God has in store for those that have walked with Him, that have overcome, that have followed Him through this journey and through this gauntlet of life. So you're a winner, brothers and sisters. Know that. Now, adjust here and where you can so that you can maximize your free reign and just what it is that you need to do while you're here, and that you can minimize the numbness that the enemy will try to throw your way, and the distractions into the detractors and the different things that the enemy will try to use to try to neutralize you. Know that that's part of the game. Know that that's part of the attack that's there. Do that. And he'll show you. Just sometimes sit down. You can map it out. It can get very clear very fast. Don't let it all be in your head. You just sit down and write it out if you need to. But adjust where you can. Trust God. Look to him. And know that he's going to carry you through, and he's going to lead you through, and he's going to bless you, even as he already has. You are blessed because you know his voice, and you have that which is true, and that which is real, and that which is eternal, and you have that pearl of great price, that treasure that's beyond measure is with you. Hold on to that. Trust him. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. I pray that you bless them. I pray that you encourage them. I pray that you encourage each and every one of our hearts, Lord God, as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray, Lord God, right now, Father, that for those that are sick in their bodies, that you heal them. For those that are struggling with financial situations, that you would give them wisdom, and that you would bless the resources that they have so that they can be in the best possible situation according to your plan and purpose for each and every one of them. Father, I pray that you bless the relationships, that each and every one of them would have good and healthy relationships and godly people around them, Lord, so that they can encourage each other in the times that we live in. Father, I pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us, Lord, that you would keep us on track with you and encouraged in your word and in your truth. Lord, we love you. We trust you, and we go on in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. All right, we'll talk to you later.